The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to SpiritMotorGroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, as part of our Remembering Ireland series, we're looking back at some of the most memorable moments in Irish recent history. And this time, we're going back to the big freeze of 2010.
I just never thought it was bad. It's tough enough now, to be fair with you. Very tough. You know what I mean? Coming to Christmas now, especially, is bad, isn't it?
When it snows, you put out the snowplow. You don't wait until they lie on the road and freeze. When it's actually coming down, the snowplows are out and they're moving the snow.
But sure, if we have a bit of fun and a bit of it, what more do we want? Well, I don't know about Santa. Will Santa get to us?
He'll have to.
He'll have to, that's true.
All right. Santi, did he make it or did he not? Only history can tell us. To remind us, though, of what did happen that year, and it seems incongruous, on a beautiful, warm, sunny, early summer morning, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather is on the line. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How bad was the big freeze of 2010?
It was pretty exceptional. And I suppose what maybe some people kind of mix up, it was January of 2010 and December of 2010. So it was kind of both sides of the year in terms of winter. There was some records set that have yet to be broken, especially in November and December of 2010, with the lowest ever November temperature being recorded in Wexford, minus 11.5 degrees. And on Christmas Day, on December the 25th, 2010, minus 17.7 in Mayo. So it was, by all means, an exceptionally cold spell.
Now, did it affect the entire country?
It did, really, yeah. I mean, the snowfall varied from location to location, especially, I suppose, the first snowfall in January. It was more of an eastern Midlands. But by December, really, there's a famous satellite image that NASA took over Ireland on the 22nd of December. And pretty much most of the country is actually white in that satellite image. Just the very south of kind of Waterford and Cork, you could see a bit of green coming through. But really, it reached all parts of the country. And those temperatures were cold right across the country. I mean, there was periods where it didn't get above 0 degrees for 9-10 days in a row in some parts of the country. So the whole country was affected. I think the second snowfall that came nearer to Christmas Day was actually a mainly Dublin and Kildare event. We did see some of it along the east coast, but that really was, I suppose, for those maybe that were due to fly into Dublin Airport for Christmas would remember that, because there was 27 centimetres of snow measured at Casement Aerodrome and 20 centimetres of snow at Dublin Airport, which would be significant enough. Mm.
Well, the snow and the ice led to major traffic delays because, strangely enough, the gritting of the roads became a big issue.
We were aware that snow was going to come to Dublin today, but what you can't predict is where it's going to land. So, unfortunately, this happened at lunchtime today and our gritters were caught in the traffic, but they're actually working as we speak.
2.5 hours stuck in traffic.
If it's anything like last night, 4 hours from Talent of Balls Bridge.
We brought our flasks to clear our windscreen and we brought a sweeping brush to take the snow off the roof.
It's just awful. I'm so scared. My heart's in my mouth all the time.
I might have to leave it somewhere because I don't know whether I'd be able to get back in the morning to work as well.
Now, before we talk about the gritting of the roads and the problems that arose, we want to mention air travel chaos. The people took to the airports to head home for Christmas or else to head out for maybe a Christmas holiday abroad. Have a listen.
An option that we might be able to travel out on Tuesday, but if we go, it means another family can't go.
Upset. Annoyed.
I really feel annoyed. I was looking really forward to the holidays.
Myself and my wife and 3 children, we were planning to go to Orlando for a break over the Christmas and the New Year. But it's all fallen apart now in the last couple of hours.
Around 200 Poles who ordinarily celebrate Christmas on December 24th spent the day here in the departures area of Dublin Airport. Some of them here since Tuesday.
Why today? They say that they cannot put an extra flight for Poland when they've got exactly one plane.
We don't know what to do next. I'm trying for 2 days to go home, but it doesn't work.
Are you worried you won't get home for Christmas?
Yeah, and now I am, yeah. It it's really frustrating. So
we were on a flight last night for sitting on the plane for an hour. This was our second attempt today, so
came this morning and we had an exact repeat of the same thing. We've checked everything in on the plane, an hour on the plane, and now we're told it's cancelled again.
Oh, the frustration of all of that back in 2010. Now, Alan O'Reilly, the question of the gritting of the roads. Imagine we ran out of grit.
Yeah, it was kind of grit was the flower of maybe 2020, because grit was, it was kind of daily updates of whether we were going to be able to import grit. And we ended up having to spread pig urea on the roads, which kind of had some interesting consequences in the aftermath. But trying to keep the country moving became a real struggle. And it's interesting, one of the contributors there mentioned, you know, that the ploughs should be out when it was snowing. We really didn't have many snow ploughs in 2010 because it was the first time really in since 1982 maybe that they had really needed snow ploughs. And for anyone that's been in Boston and or parts of America that see snow, you know, you'll see all the small contractors with snow ploughs moving when the snow was moving. But we really didn't have snow ploughs. And the problem was that it snowed and then the temperatures got so low that snow just compacted. And it really became layer and layer of ice and ice. And it was absolutely treacherous trying to keep moving, especially in the east of the country. I know people that were flying in from America and they were lucky enough they got diverted to Shannon. But the problem then was people trying to drive to Shannon to pick up the loved ones to bring them back to the East Coast. So it was an interesting time. And I suppose the cost of the grit and the money spent on grit during a recession was also became a political issue. So there was all sorts of stories around the weather as well.
Now, the lowest temperatures you mentioned was minus 17. That's very, very low for this country. We didn't have a weather warning system at the time. Would that have made any difference? I mean, the technology's moved on in terms of early warnings of what we might know about what's coming. But would an early warning system have told us anything?
Well, I suppose that the warnings, you know, in themselves can cause confusion and can cause issues as well. But to be fair, I think they may have maybe helped people get more in tune with what was happening, because people kind of made journeys not really expecting, you know, the snowfall that came and headed to airports, etc., and ended up stuck in different areas for days on end, really. So, you know, we would have seen red warnings if the weather warning system had been in place. Then there would have been enough snow and ice and low temperatures to have triggered red warnings in 2010. Whether the unnecessary journeys, I mean, we talk about essential journeys now. We were told at the time to avoid unnecessary journeys, but whether a red warning would have helped or not, I suppose, is open to debate, Pat.
Well, now, the 2010 snow has been compared to the big snow of 1982. You mentioned that as a previous severe event, but we'll remind listeners of some of the issues that people faced in 1982. In Blessington in County Wicklow, the Gardaí called in army helicopters to deliver food parcels to areas that were cut off.
Even this afternoon, isolated communities were snowed in for their fourth day in a row. In Blessington, the Gardaí called in the army helicopters to deliver locally prepared food parcels to cut off mountainy areas. With deliveries of dried milk, tea and sugar, they flew out over half-frozen lakes, huddled groups of livestock, roads blocked with snow and abandoned cars. They dropped supplies this afternoon at the Wicklow villages of Lacken, Capure and Ballynockan, where the locals gave them a relieved welcome.
It's a village of about 200 people. It's been difficult enough to survive. And we're just going to talk here to Mrs. Una O'Donovan, who has been trying to survive with a small family. What about food? What were you lacking here?
Well, bread mostly and milk.
Yeah.
Primary things. Luckily enough, had a few supplies in the press which hadn't been used for a while, so yeah, we used up those.
Well, if the army hadn't come in here now this afternoon, what were you going to have to do?
Well, we have no meat and no bread. I had baked some yesterday, all right.
Had got to the stage that they were hungry.
Just today, I'd say, we're at the last. Yeah. At the very last.
So what's in those food parcels now?
Well, I believe there are rashers and sausages and dried milk.
And how long will that keep you going?
Well, I reckon about 4 days.
So food parcels delivered by army helicopters, Air Corps helicopters. That sounds like the voice of the reporter, Olivia O'Leary, at that time. How does it compare, by the way, to that, the 1982 snow, to the 2010?
Yeah, it was a kind of a different kind of event, Pat, because it was the remarkable part about 1982 was the snow drifts. So there was some very strong gale winds associated with the snow that fell on the 8th and the 9th of January, which caused these drifting problems. So it buried cars, you know, roads were completely cut off. I suppose it would be more in like the Storm Emma that we had in recent years, if that type of event for snow. But because it fell in January, it was followed then by very low temperatures for the following 10 days, really, with Dublin seeing 8 days where it didn't get above 0 degrees, the average temperature. So it was a little bit more of a different event. It was mainly an eastern event, and the drifting, as I say, especially like areas that in that report mentioned high ground. I know locally here, my father would have spoke of the hills, Mount Leinster, etc., where, you know, literally roads couldn't be seen. And cars, you were walking on tops of cars. So it was a little bit of a different event than 2010, but certainly it did have massive impacts. And for those in the upland areas, it really did cut them off.
Well, finally, Alan, let's not talk of snow, but let's talk of sun. We are due to have a hot spell. I don't know whether you could categorise it as a heat wave this week.
Yeah, it's certainly going to warm up, Pat, probably up to 23 or 24 degrees by Wednesday, and pushing 25 degrees even on Thursday. It will be best in the east of the country in the Midlands. The west and the northwest will see a bit more cloud, but it will be a southeasterly breeze. So if you're missing the beach, I suppose, in lockdown, it won't be particularly nice on the southeast beaches because of the onshore breeze. But certainly very warm, and it may hang on for the bank holiday weekend, Pat. It's looking like it could stay in the early 20s as well. So certainly heating up, and it's going to be a nice week ahead for most areas.
I should ask you, by the way, a listener has been on about the 1947 snow. We had blizzards in Ireland and over 5,000 deaths.
Yeah, and there is certainly a few other weather events that if you go back further would be more significant. 1963 would be another one, and many of the records do date back that far. So while 2010 has certainly lived in recent memories, if you go back further, and for those that are a little bit longer on the planet than me, Pat, that there would be certainly other dates that would stick out, and that would be one of them for sure.
All right, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather, thank you very much.